You unlock this door with the key of imagination. Beyond it is another dimension. A dimension of sound. A dimension of sight. A dimension of mind. You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into the Twilight Zone.
What is happening?
It's all I don't know.
You're listening to the AME Radio Show.
Welcome to the AME Radio Show, the show that is the voice of artists and entertainers everywhere. I'm your host, Jason Dowd. We got a great show for you guys today, and we are very excited that you have joined us because we know you guys are going to work, you're getting ready for the weekend, you got the weekend on the mind, but don't let it get you down. You have to finish the week strong, and that makes for a very exciting weekend because you don't have to worry about the work week anymore. You finished strong. You got done what you needed to accomplish. You got your goals done for that week, and now it's time to celebrate. So I hope that you have a lot of plans for this weekend, or you're just going to take some time for yourself. It doesn't really matter. However, we hope that we will inspire you right here on this show today and every show that we're a part of, because we know that there are people that have done, that have great dreams. You know what I mean? And they want to be able to do what they got to do, but there's sometimes those little things that stick in your mind, like self-doubt and lack of confidence. And by bringing people on that have walked the walk and talked the talk, if you have the same dream, they're going to show you that it may not be easy, but you can get there if you just put your mind to it and have a little bit of passion and inspiration. And those are the two key factors that we keep bringing up on this radio show, because I've used them. I know that without them, I can't get the projects done that I want. I can't get the results that I want because I'm not passionate about the project I'm working on, right? So how can you have a great outcome if you don't have the passion to back it up? You just can't. It's impossible. So let me get it, before we get into anything, tell you our website. Now, don't look it up on the phone. You guys are probably driving to work, but if you're around a computer and you want to be able to see what we're all about, go ahead and do so. But don't get fired. Remember, it's not worth it. Just look at it when you get a chance. We're not going anywhere. It's www.theamemagazine.com. You can check it out anytime because it's constantly up. We have all of our great guests, all of our interviews that we've done, anything we've covered, it's up there. And if you want to see what we have to cover, it's also up there as well. Now, while you're there, you can find a lot of great stuff like the newsletter. You can sign up for our newsletter and find and be in the know of what's going on the AME experience. You can also download our apps. We have an Apple and an Android app completely free. Just go check that out, download it, and it's a great way to keep in touch with us in the 21st century. And you can also find all the different links that we have to our social media network. So like us, follow us, share us, whatever the terminology may be. Just be a part of that conversation as well. Now, we have branched off, so a lot of our followers have broken down into almost nothing, but we're building it up, and we need your help to do that. So please go check that out. Share us. Be a part of our social media networks as well. All right, so the two people that we have coming up today are great guests, to tell you the truth. We have Les Mahoney. He's an actor in a brand new movie called At Granny's House. This is a really interesting concept, and I think you guys are going to love this movie. When I heard about it, I had to bring him on to talk about it because it makes you think, and I love that in a thriller, drama type of a movie. Then we also have Richard Hotchman coming on. He is the star of a new movie called The Bus Party to Hell. And if you don't like bus parties, you probably won't want to be on one again, but he's going to talk to us about how they shot this movie in a bus in extremely hot temperatures, how they managed to do it, and how they made it look so good. And you're going to hear a lot about his character and so much more for both of these guys, to tell you the truth. There's got to be a lot of in-depth insights into these movies, into the characters, that is going to be awesome. So this is stuff you probably won't get anywhere else. So what do we have for you guys today? Well, I have something that I always bring up. I hate that I have to do this, but unfortunately every year it comes around, and that is the canceled shows for 2018. The canceled shows that we have are from a bunch of different networks, so we're going to be kind of going over them and how long that they lasted in the series. So we have ABC. They have decided to discontinue The Mayor after one season, which means it probably didn't get a lot of attention from the viewers, and it it just didn't bring in the revenue that they were hoping for. So, unfortunately, The Mayor, after one season, is gone. We have Hulu, who just released The Chance. They have canceled it after two seasons. We have Netflix, who just discontinued Lady Dynamite after two seasons. Amazon just canceled One Mississippi, I Love Dick, both after two seasons, and also Jean-Claude Van Johnson after one season. Another shocker here, and this is probably going to break a lot of people's hearts because it was a very popular show, was ABC is now canceling Once Upon a Time after seven seasons. That's a great run, though. All the actors and the producers and the directors have to feel good about themselves because that is a long stint. So congratulations on that, and I know a lot of people are going to miss that one. Netflix has also discontinued Disjointed after one season. TNT has discontinued The Librarians after four seasons. That's a pretty good run. Four seasons is not a bad run for a television series. Netflix just discontinued Everything Sucks after one season. Amazon discontinued Mozart in the Jungle after one season. CW just released Crazy Ex-Girlfriend after four seasons. That's pretty good, too. That's four seasons. That's good. That's a good run. Comedy Central just discontinued Broad City after five seasons. BBC just discontinued Versailles after three. Netflix, 7 Seconds, which is after one season. CBS, Living Biblically after one season. Stars, Ash vs. Evil Dead, that actually went on for three seasons, which isn't too bad. Hulu just discontinued The Path after three seasons. Netflix also discontinued The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt after four seasons. That's a pretty good run. Amazon did Transparent after five seasons. CW also released, or not released, but canceled Life Sentence and Valor, both after one season. And Fox has a bunch of them, too. They just discontinued The Mick after two seasons, Brooklyn Nine-Nine after five seasons, and Last Man on Earth after four. So each one of those had a pretty good run. And as we've also said in the past, that Disney has just discontinued Stuck in the Middle for 2018. So those are the list of shows that are gone in 2018 and beyond. If they still are in that season right now, they will not be renewed for next season. So I hate to say that those shows are gone, but unfortunately, every year you're going to get some, you're going to lose some. That's what keeps it fun and innovative. Man, I know I've had a lot of shows that have discontinued that I loved, and it sucks. It really does. But, you know, there are other ways to find them. So a lot of the times, especially if they're on Amazon, Hulu, or Netflix, they may still be archived there. You just may not get any new ones. So if there's a chance to go see archives, that's great. I love the archives as well. All right, so I guess that's all I have to talk to you guys about right now. We're going to go to a quick commercial break. When we come back, I do have Les Mahoney on the phone, so we're going to be talking to him about his movie At Granny's House, and we got so much more, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with Les.
Do you love horror? The strange and unusual fantasy creatures are urban legends. Do you want to step inside a dream or nightmare? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you should check out internationally exhibiting artist Jason Dowd and his award-winning photographic collections by visiting www.imaginationartstudios.com. Get inside his mind and experience his inner weird.
Hi, this is Dina Martin, and you're listening to my new album, Swing Street. You can get it at dinamartin.com, Amazon, of course, any place where you can get a digital download. Go on to iTunes, but I know you're going to love it. And thank you for listening to me on the radio.
Hi, I'm Serena Vincent, and you're listening to the A&E Radio Show.
Yeah. Welcome back to the show, everybody. We have on the line with us Les Mahoney. He is a director of a brand new movie called At Granny's House. This sounds like a really cool movie. We're going to talk to him about how he got into being a director, what he loves about movies, and of course, this movie itself. So welcome to the show, Les. How are you doing today?
Hey, great, Jason. How are you doing? Thanks for having me.
Oh, no problem. Thank you for coming on and sharing some of your expertise and talking to us about some of the things you got going on. So let's start off with kind of getting an idea of how you got into being a director. What do you like about it the most?
Well, you know, actually, I started as an actor, and I consider myself an actor first and a filmmaker second. You know, and I got into acting really kind of late in my life. It wasn't until 2007 that I started taking acting classes in Los Angeles, and I, you know, almost immediately, within the first week anyway, I realized that I loved it, and this is what I needed to be doing. And, you know, I think it's a natural evolution for an actor to become a filmmaker, especially nowadays when you know, everything is so accessible. I mean, the technology is accessible, and distribution and marketing and all that is all so possible for anyone.
So the industry's kind of changed a little bit then, I guess, because back in the days, I mean, you didn't really see directors getting in front of the camera too much, but now sometimes you see people directing and being an actor in the same television show or movie, whatever it may be, which is pretty interesting.
Yeah, it is. It is. And it's really challenging, too, as you might imagine, you know, because I also am a producer, produced several of our own movies. And, you know, so there's like three disciplines there. There's producing, which is all planning and logistics and details and all that stuff. And then there's directing, which is all about vision and, you know, getting the actors and the camera work to tell your story. And then there's acting, which is, you know, totally outside of your head. You get out of your head completely to be able to act.
Right. So have you done the behind the camera, in front of the camera thing where you were like the director or producer and actor in the same production?
Yes, absolutely. I've done it five times now.
Wow.
Actually, we're filming our latest movie called Adrift, which is a continuation of our spy drama Available, which is out on Amazon and other locations. We're filming that right now. We're in Portland right now shooting scenes for that movie. So this is the fifth time that I've actually directed and acted and produced. And it's a challenge. I mean, it's like three different muscles you have to flex.
Yeah. It's like playing drums for the first time. If you ever played drums, you realize you can feel all the sensations on one side of the brain, and it's like, how does this happen? You know, you like feel discombobulated, but you know how to use the other one too. So it's a crazy sensation. How do you do something like that? I mean, I would think as a director, you'd have to kind of see how it's going, but if you're physically in it, you're going to kind of see it from a different perspective. So how do you do this effectively?
Well, that's a challenge for sure. Because when you're in the scene, you're trying to just be your character, of course. But at the same time, it's really hard to not see what the other actors are doing. So basically, you try to not pay attention to that, because that's just going to screw up your process. So what you have to end up doing is looking at the take on video after the shot, and then going from there. And actually, you have to kind of, you know, obviously, you have to look at yourself really, really harshly and make sure you're doing the right things, too.
So there's probably a few more retakes being the director and actor at the same time, I would think.
Yeah, you know, I think for me, I might start off a little bit slower in front of the camera. And, you know, we do some, like, establishing shots and wide shots, and that gives me a chance to kind of get into it and get out of my director head into my actor head. And so by the time we're really getting into the close-ups and whatnot, I really feel like I'm kind of where I need to be.
Mm. So tell me a little bit about your acting career. When did you want to become an actor, and what made that so special for you?
Well, it's interesting, because I've never had any college drama or any little theater background whatsoever. It wasn't until 2004, and I was with my then-now wife in Guatemala. We were watching a little theater play. A friend of hers was in a little theater play of Blood Brothers, like a two-act play. And I remember sitting in the audience, and for the first time, I remember looking at the actors and saying, wow, that would be interesting to try that. Well, at the time, we were traveling a lot. Of course, we still travel. But at the time, it took me a couple of years to figure out when and where to start my acting classes. And I wasn't even sure at that point if I was going to become an actor. But it became really obvious within, like I said, a week of taking classes that it was something I really loved and I needed to have in my life all the time.
You know, I think for me, I think to be an actor, you'd have to have some type of specific qualities. And you may not realize that you have them, but I would think that you would have to have some type of ability to want to entertain people. You'd have to have some type of charm that you can turn and do different types of, you know, characters and stuff like that. So did you realize you had something like that?
Well, you know, not right away. I think I realized I had some aptitude for it. I mean, starting older, I started in 2007 till I was 46. So I started older, I think, than a lot of people, which I've often thought was a good thing. And also, I often wondered what would happen if I would have started when I was 26. Who knows? But life takes you in different directions. And I think I realized I had an aptitude for it. I think what really attracts me to it is that, you know, actors kind of tap into the universality of the human experience. You know, you're trying to get into all these different emotions and, you know, you're trying to show something to your audience to help them see something in themselves, perhaps, or in the world around them. You know, it's all about, you know, that whole human experience, which, and there's, you know, in the infinite number of possibilities of human experience, and we actors try to tap into that.
Mm-hmm. So what was your big break?
Well, I think actually, you know, my big break was, well, I did a film up in Alaska. It was interesting. I got a call for an audition, and I think I was getting over the flu, and I almost didn't answer the call, but I answered it, and I went on this audition, and it was a film, and I left 4 days later to go to fly up to Alaska and shot for 13 days on a movie called Coldwood, a thriller, kind of a supernatural thriller, and I was the male lead. So that was a big deal. But I like to think that my big break is realizing that I could, you know, take my acting skills and take it to a different level with writing and directing and producing and understanding that I can, you know, tell a story myself and my team, especially my wife, Tammy. She's, like, instrumental in getting these films done, you know, but we can, you know, work together as a team and with other, bring other cast and crew in. And realizing that was a possibility, and when before I don't think I'd ever considered that.
You know what you said earlier here, that you were 47, late 40s basically when you got into acting. What I love about that is that you were able to do it, and you know, age didn't matter for you. Because I mean, I worked in the music field, and it's like, man, if you're 25 years older and you're just starting to get into music, it can be rough. It can be brutal.
Yeah.
And it's like I've kind of noticed that. There's really no age limit on acting because there's a need for everything. Did you have any type of, I don't know, hesitation or maybe self-doubt that it wouldn't work because of your age starting at that type of, in your later 40s?
Yeah. I think just because I didn't have any background, I was starting at zero when I took my first classes. So I think there was doubt there for sure. And, you know, you see all these young actors. It's really interesting in L.A. You walk into an audition house, and you have all these rooms, and you see all these people waiting outside the rooms to do their auditions. And, you know, one room is nothing but hot women who are, like, 25 years old and gorgeous. And then there's another room with guys, and then they're, like, in their 20s, and they all got, like, scruff on their face. And they all have a certain look. And then there's the room I'm in front of, and they're all, like, you know, kind of like middle-aged guys. And, you know, so it's really interesting. And, you know, like you said, there really is something for everyone, you know. And I know there's a lot of talk of age discrimination against women, mm-hmm, in Hollywood, and I can see that for sure. I think there's probably more opportunities for men of my age than women, but at the same time, I think, you know, you kind of have to make your own opportunities, and that's what we're doing right now.
I love that. That's inspirational for anybody that wants to try something and say, "Hey, damn, I missed the boat," you know, because I kind of did that myself. I mean, I'm not 40 yet, but you know, I always had dreams about doing something like that when I was in my 20s, and it just, you know, I don't know what it was, but it just, I guess I just didn't take the opportunity. It just, maybe I thought I wasn't good enough or whatever. Maybe then I realized, well, I'm probably just too old for that. But, you know, that gives hope to people like me that still want to continue to try something, that there's a chance.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I don't think, you know, until they put you in the ground, I think you still have opportunities. You know, I've always told my kids, you know, that you could do anything you set your mind to, and I firmly believe that, you know, and that there's no time limit there. You know, you could start a career when you're 60. Who knows? I may. I don't know. I'm not planning on it, but, you know, I didn't expect to become an actor or filmmaker either in my 40s. So there you go.
So let's talk a little bit about At Granny's House. What's this movie all about?
All right. Well, see, At Granny's House is a story that takes place in a small Midwest town. And it actually sprang from a vision I had. My mother-in-law lives in a small town in eastern Colorado. And I remember sitting in her front room, and I just had this vision of four little old ladies playing bridge in this formal front room. And then the camera pans over and into the attic, and there's a guy held hostage there. He's a captive. And so I don't even know where that came from, really. So that image kind of percolated in my head for months and months, and I finally said, you know, I gotta make something out of this, because it's just kind of sticking with me, and the visual for me was really compelling. So basically, it's kind of a love triangle. You know, there's a little old lady, Granny, and her son insists that she gets a caregiver to take care of her, and so she doesn't want Rebecca as the name of the caregiver. She doesn't want her around to start with, but they really start to hit it off over time. And so that's one leg of the triangle, the love triangle. Well, my character, Ted, comes in with his wife and has an immediate attraction with Rebecca. Well, I'm not going to give away any spoilers, but
sure.
Before long, you know, my wife is kind of out of the picture, and so Rebecca and I are another end of the triangle. So this love triangle, interesting love triangle between, you know, kind of, you know, a love triangle with a love relationship with the man and the woman. And so there's this kind of conflictive there. We all kind of, there's conflict, but we all, you know, we realize we're propping each other up at the same time, where they, you know, there's secrets that are being kept that we can't let outside of the triangle.
You know, being creative, and I know what you're talking about with that first scene there, because I can almost picture it in my head as you were describing it. Have you ever come up with a vision and you don't know what it is yet, but it usually ends up being turned into work, but then you sit there and question your sanity? It's like, did I just think of something like that? You know?
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, it's hard to imagine that just that vision I described. It's like sitting in my mother-in-law's front room, and this is like a really cool Midwest house, and you just have this weird image. Where's this come from? You know, I love Stephen King, and he talks about, you know, when he's writing, it's like he's unearthing a fossil, little by little. He doesn't know what he's like. He's brushing away sand from bones that are buried, and he's brushing it away little by little. So he doesn't know what he's going to get when he excavates everything. And that's kind of the way this was. You know, I had this one image, and that was like the start, and then I just started working from there.
That's so cool. I love how ideas pop out with sometimes the most obscure images or ideas, and it's like, sometimes they're crazy and you can develop it into something amazing, and sometimes they're just so bland and you can turn it into something crazy if you want to. You know, that's what's great about the creative process.
Yeah, no, it's true. And, you know, and one thing I really love about, you know, filmmaking and acting is the collaborative process that's essential to filmmaking. You know, like they always talk about the betrayals. You know, when you write a story, you know, you have an image in your mind, and when you write it down, you betray that image, because there's no way you can ever write it down exactly like you have it in your head, right?
Right.
And then there's the betrayal when you give it to a director, because they have their image and they betray it a little bit. And the acting, you give it to an actor and they betray the words you've written down because they have their own image. And so they call it betrayals, but at the same time, it's like a synergy. You know, you got all these people coming together, having different ideas, and you create something that's much bigger and better than, you know, some of its parts, really.
Mm-hmm. So this sounds like you also act in this one, so it's like you're a director actor in this, and that's kind of what I got from it. So what's your character, and what's some of your favorite characters of your character?
Well, Ted Steiner is the name of my character, and he's an IT consultant who's on the road with his wife, who's been laid off from her job working with nonprofit, like social work kind of thing. And so she's looking for another job, and they're on the road, and Rebecca and Granny have started are working with this organization called myfreebed.com, which is kind of a take on couch surfing, if you've ever heard of that, where you open up your house to people who are passing through, and it's totally free. It's just helping people out. And so that's what they do. They Ted and Linda get on my free bed, and they find Rebecca and Granny and decide to spend the night there. And so I think with Ted, though, he's not happy with his wife. They've gone through problems, and I think he's opportunistic, and he's a little bit edgy. And I think I play a lot of characters that are on the edge one way or the other, either, you know, dramatic or comedic, not mainstream. I think mainstream is not exactly my strength, to be honest. So I think Ted is probably looking for what I've always called the BBD, you know, the bigger, better deal when it comes to, you know, his love relationships. And I think he finds it with Rebecca, who's also accessible and amenable.
So what do you like best about this movie? What was one of your favorite scenes?
Wow. Well, you know, I think my influence for this, in writing this movie, was I'm a big fan of Alfred Hitchcock, and there's a lot of Hitchcockian elements to this movie, and I tried to not, obviously you can't copy Alfred Hitchcock, but
sure.
I mean there's definitely influences there, and I think perhaps my favorite scene is when I set up a movie projector in the basement. I find these old like 8mm movies. And I set this up to show these old home movies to my wife as a way to, you know, avoid the boredom of being in this small town. Of course, I have an ulterior motive, which I won't get into. But basically, she's watching these old home movies when Rebecca comes out of the shadows. And, well, I'll let you figure out the rest by watching it. But it's very visual, you know, and my director of photography, Michael Blue, is just absolutely fantastic. So you have to imagine you have this 8mm projector rolling,
mm-hmm.
and they have the lights flickering in this basement setting, and it's all very shadowy. And there's lots of, you know, significant glances between my wife and I, and then all of a sudden Rebecca comes out of the shadows. And so I just love the visuals behind that.
It sounds amazing because, you know, I can see that projector going. I remember them in school and stuff like that. And, you know, that just gives a creep factor. But yet it's also very, like you said, cinematographic. It's gorgeous at the
same
time.
Well, you know, and that's the thing, you know, and what's interesting is that the whole movies that are playing on the screen are of my wife's sisters when they were infants, like swinging on a swing, you know. And it's all so bucolic and, you know, and tranquil and so middle American, and all of a sudden, you know, something else is going to happen here. So I love that contrast. I think contrast between, you know, good and bad is there with us all the time, and to put them in the same image, I think is really compelling and significant.
You know, it's cool because getting those images in my head of what you're talking about, I was in an old abandoned house. I mean, it was like dilapidated. One side of the house fell down, and I was getting ready to do a photo shoot in there. And we went up into the attic, and when we went up into the attic, we actually found some old kids' drawings made of crayons that are like very, you know, very elementary, like, you know, kindergarten type things. And they were the creepiest things I've ever seen in a house like that, but yet you knew that they brought people a lot of joy back in the day. And, you know, just seeing that 8mm thing, I could see that. You know, it's a very innocent yet, you know, beautiful movie that you're watching, but yet with the historically old, you know, the flashing lights, it can give that whole creep factor that can set a whole different mood, and it's so cool.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, the whole setting for at Granny's house is in this small Midwest town,
mm-hmm.
and I know I always wonder when I go through these small towns, like, what are the secrets going on behind these closed doors? I mean, you think this is just like, you know, very middle America, small town. You could call it potentially boring if you want to, but people are living their lives. What secrets are taking place behind these doors? And that's one thing I really kind of wanted to explore a little bit with that Granny's house. It's like just a normal kind of a granny in a normal kind of a house, and there's all kind of weird stuff going on.
And you know what? That's where weird stuff would happen, in those smaller little cities like that. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Because the external is like really normal, and the internal inside the house is really dark. And there's that contrast again.
Mm-hmm. Well, Les, we're just about out of time, so please tell everybody how they can see the movie that's coming out.
Oh, great. Well, the movie is showing on the Vagabond Entertainment channel on VHX.com. You can go on VHX.com and you can Google At Granny's House. and look at all our other offerings as well. There's we did a private eye comedy called Mike Case and the Big Kiss Off, and we've also done a spy thriller called Available, which we shot in Germany and Prague, Czech Republic, and all over the United States. And that's the continuation of that movie we're shooting right now in Portland, Mexico, Japan. So that's the VHX channel for Vagabond Entertainment. And also you can Google At Granny's House on Amazon Prime. We're on Amazon Prime, so if people have a Prime membership, they can watch it for free.
Sweet.
There as well. And we're on iTunes also.
And, of course, do you have any social media links or websites or anything else that you want to give out for people that can either hire you as an actor, see what you got going on, or just follow some of your projects?
Yeah. Well, Vagabond Entertainment and my name, Les Mahoney, we're under on the Internet Movie Database. You can read a little bit more about our productions and my career there. And you can also go to lesmahoney.com to learn more about me. Vagabondentertainment.biz is our production company. You can see what our upcoming projects and the awards we've won and all that good stuff. So, and then each of our movies have Facebook pages as well. So Granny's House Movie is on, at Granny's House Movie is on Facebook, and also has the webpage at grannyshousemovie.com.
Well, Les, if your movie is anything like the pictures you painted for me just by talking, this thing's going to be phenomenal. So I wish you all the best.
Yeah, well, thank you.
And good luck on this, and hopefully I get to see some of the other stuff you have coming out, and we'll bring you on to talk about those, too.
Yeah, I look forward to it, Jason. Thanks so much for having me.
You're welcome. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we have more, so don't go anywhere.
Jason Dowd of Imagination Art Studios is proud to announce the release of his steampunk collection, which is currently on tour across the country. There you will see beautiful handmade masks from Venice, Italy that accentuate beautiful women to create amazing stories and feelings to those who visit the collection. Each photo series has a theme, mask, authentic props, and beautifully elaborate outfits, all collaborated in the mind of Jason Dowd to create the right emotion and feeling. The masks come from a shop at Epcot at the Italian Pavilion, where all these photos are on display for you to see. This is one of the biggest accomplishments of his career, having his work at Disney. Come see the beautiful first release of the series, which includes Distressed Dancer, Spanish Serenade, The Pied Piper, and Reaching for the Stars. You can see them in person or online at www.imaginationartstudios.com. For more information, visit the website. Again, it's imaginationartstudios.com. Our Facebook is Imagination Art Studios. Twitter is at Dow Studios. And Instagram is at Jason Dow. Come and be mesmerized by the masks and the stories behind them.
Hey guys, it's Lily Mae Silverstein playing Penny in my new movie, Alex and Me, which will come out digitally on June 19th, so go check it out.
This is Vic DiBattista. You are listening to the AME Radio Show.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. We have on the line with us our special guest. His name is Richard Hotchman. He is the male lead in a new movie called Bus Party to Hell, which sounds like a really interesting movie. So we're going to be talking to him about his love of acting and how he got into it and this movie and so much more. So welcome, Richard. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good, Jason. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. So I guess one of the best things to do to start with is kind of find out a little bit about you. So when did you get into acting?
Well, I'm actually believe it or not, born and raised Los Angelino. So I grew up around the industry. My family wasn't in the industry, but I had a lot of friends as kids, and I was surrounded by thriving artists that wanted to be performers, actors, singers, dancers. And I got into a performing group when I was a child for a church charity. And I started going around town and doing performances and kind of fell in love with, the craft of acting, and was really, would see every movie that came out and always wanted to do it, but didn't know how to do it. And then, just started taking acting classes and had some guidance and got an agent. And, that's how I got into the industry.
What fascinated you the most about the industry?
Well, I mean, at the time, I just wanted, you know, simpler things. I wanted to be a successful actor. I wanted to play different characters. Now I would say that it's very interesting because, if you want to become like a doctor, you can go to school for, you know, however many years, you put in your residency, you put in your time, and you can become a success at it. You know, with the arts and acting and filmmaking, it has nothing to do with that. You know, it's preparation meets opportunity. You can put all the hours in you want and not make it, or you can put in a little bit of hours and have great success. So I thought it was very unique, you know, seeing people with conventional careers, you know, put the time in, and, you know, watching people around me either struggle or make it very quickly.
Yeah, that's been one of the things that I've always been fascinated about Hollywood itself. You know, I watched and listened to Marilyn Monroe's story and all these other people that have come out there. And, you know, they gave up everything. They went out there, and some of them made it. Some of them absolutely made a name for themselves, like Marilyn Monroe. But then there are other ones that didn't, you know, and it's sad because they have that opportunity, and they're good. It just sometimes it just doesn't work out.
Yeah, there's a lot of talented people who, you know, never get a fair shot or never make it, or, you know, quit and go home and want to start a family, and there's nothing wrong with that. And there's a lot of people who, in my opinion, aren't that good, who got very fortunate and lucky, and you see on TV and film, and they were the right place, right time, or they knew the right people, or had a family member who was in the industry. You know, for me, like I said, I grew up in Los Angeles, so no matter how difficult the struggle may be, I don't plan to move back home because I am home, and so I'll always you know, be involved in the industry.
Sure. So, you know, being from native Los Angeles and stuff, everybody dreams about coming to Los Angeles and becoming a star. Being there, growing up, you've seen it, you've felt it, you've walked the walk. What are some of the things that they can expect?
Well, I think the thing to expect is that it's not conventional. You know, like, it's not like another career, and there's a lot of politics to the game. You know, you can go out and do a bunch of auditions and, you know, try to please people and not break through, or you can make your own content. You can, you know, meet producers, and you can kind of, for lack of a better term, cheat the system as to how you get success. You know, in this day and age, there's obviously a million different options to make your own content. And I think that anybody who, you know, wants to really actually pursue acting should have the idea they want to be in control of their own careers, as opposed to putting it in the hands of somebody else all the time. The best way to do it is to make your own content, in my opinion. It's easier to do now more than ever. You can film on your iPhone. You know, I first started, you know, that wasn't an option. You had to have, like, a professional crew and equipment to even get something made.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever been in a movie that where they have taped it on iPhones and iPads and stuff like that?
I don't think so. I have thought that day would come around, but I haven't done it where somebody actually did the entire thing on an iPhone or iPad. I think that it would happen more often if, you know, companies like Apple or Samsung sponsor these filmmakers, but they don't think they actually really do, so you don't see as many of these, you know, movies made like that.
You know, there's something amazing about these little phones and iPads and stuff, because I tried it myself with one of my one of the interviews that I went out to. I wasn't able to bring a professional camera in, so I wasn't gonna take no for an answer, so I decided to use my cell phone. And, you know, the funny thing is, the only real problem I had was the audio with it, because I couldn't bring in sound equipment either. But you could still make it out, and where we were, because we were at a theme park where we had to shoot the interview, it brought a little bit of something special to it, because you got to hear the people having fun around you, you know, and I think that made it just a little bit more special. Like, you knew it was a fun place. It's not like it was that all roped off, and it was real life, and I kind of like that feel when it comes to movies, and I just think it'd be fun. I really kind of wish people would try it a little bit more.
Yeah, you definitely would get the ambiance. And, you know, the cameras are really good. You know, yeah. I saw auditions still, and I sent out a lot of tape myself. I film everything on my iPhone. I mean, I have a professional camera, and frankly, I use my iPhone just because I can edit the whole thing on my phone. I can slice it and upload it without even ever touching a computer. So technology is amazing, and it's crazy that you can do that. I never feel like I'm talking like I'm old, but I never thought you'd be able to do that.
Right. Oh yeah. You know, I mean, and I used to love the idea that people could edit the way that they did with, you know, physical film. You know, and it's like,
right, yeah.
You know, it's amazing. It blows my mind that you can do it digitally. But imagine back then and what they were able to do with film. It's just it's an art form in itself. I love it. I'm fascinated by it.
It's crazy that 35 millimeter is becoming vintage. Like, you know, slowly but surely.
Yeah.
You know, the craft of, like you said, slicing a film together, like actually editing film reels is becoming a lost art.
Yeah. So what do you like the most about playing characters? Is it, you know, being in these movies? Is it telling a story? Is it being somebody else for a change? Is it getting to play somebody, getting into somebody else's mind? What do you love the most about it?
Yeah, I would say that just as I am, I'm a very empathic person. When I walk around in the world and I, you know, just live my normal life, I find I just am more sensitive to how other people are feeling than most. And I thought that was normal, but after being around, I realized like that is something that's unique to me as a person. So it is nice to just not be thinking the way that you think, you know, mm-hmm. and be somebody else and go not just how you're performing, but what thoughts is this person having? What emotions are they feeling, and what is the stigma behind it, and why are they thinking the thoughts that they're thinking? And you get this whole subtext and you know, details into the mind of somebody else. And you know, with acting, there's obviously mimicry, but there's also really portraying another person's beingness and their what's going on in their head and in their heart. And I think for me now, that's what interests me about pursuing new characters and different types of characters. Is just something that's so disrelated to me that I can still relate something to their humanity and who they are and why they're doing what they're doing, you know. And I think that the people just fascinate me in that way, how they can be intellectual or crazy or psychotic or, you know, rational or irrational, and how they became to be that way. You know, we're all, you know, born the same way, but we're all become so much different.
Mm-hmm. So based upon what you just said, because I really like what you just said, I think this would be a great way to segue into the movie here, The Bus Party to Hell. Mm-hmm. How did you get into character for your character, and what were some of the things that you tried to emotionally absorb to make this character your own?
Sure. You know, specifically with Bus Party Hell and Alan Andrews, the character I play, I wrote a backstory, you know, and stuff that didn't necessarily lend to how I performed or acted as the character, but just, I think, just added to the nuance of how, you know, I would have my days go on set, you know, from scene to scene. You know, I would reference that backstory in my head, be like, okay, why would he react this way to this person this moment? And maybe it's a minor detail, but it'd be different than just trying to, you know, guess at it. You know, at least there's a source, whether the audience knows it or not. You know, you have something going on, so you can, you know, actually create a unique person, and give life to them. So yeah, I wrote a whole backstory for the character with, you know, how he was raised and, you know, what traumatized him, what excited him, what made him happy, what pissed him off, why these things pissed him off, why they made him happy, what he's lacking, what he's seeking, and, you know, just all these things that, you know, you probably don't even put into thinking about people in your own life, but when you're making a character, you know, really, like, analyze the depth of their psyche to go, I mean, and the character I play is, like, you know, the generic jock douchebag in a horror film, but I still put all the work into making sure that he had some sort of depth to him and had more going on than just, you know, surface value.
Sure. So what did you like the most about your character? What did you like the least about your character?
Well, when I read the script, I think what I liked the most is just his sarcasm. Yeah, he's a dick. and when I read it, I laughed, and I mean, like, it was mean spirited. But you know, when there's a saying I like, which is that you can only be mean if you're funny.
Right.
You know, and that's why when I read the character, that's what I thought about him. Like he's a dick, but he's a funny dick, so he can get away with it. You know. And because if people in real life are just assholes, they're just assholes. Yeah. Whereas you know those people where they're like, they make fun of you, they tease you, and it's mean, but you're laughing too, and it's like, God, they're gonna get away with this forever, you know. So when that was what I, you know, definitely liked when I read the script, and I thought I could create the character. What I dislike about him, I mean, he's selfish, you know. He's doesn't care for anybody but himself and his, you know, he's like a thrill seeker, you know. He doesn't care about other people's well-being, essentially.
Mm-hmm. So, Bus Party to Hell, that almost sounds like one of these big bus parties you get on, you're dancing and everything goes wrong. Is that kind of the plot? Is that kind of how it works out? Or if not, I'm happy to be completely wrong. Tell me what the plot's all about.
That's pretty much spot on. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's sort of like, you know, you think about snakes on a plane, like you know what you're getting into, like Bus Party to Hell. Yeah, there's a bunch of young, good-looking people, and everything goes wrong, and they run to a satanic cult and have to survive. I mean, there's a lot more aspect to the plot, and but like you hear Bus Party to Hell, like you know what you're getting into.
So, right.
Yeah. I mean, you pretty much nail on the head. A bunch of young, good-looking people trying to go Burning Man and do drugs and drink alcohol and get disrupted in quite a gory way.
I couldn't find anything more horrible. For me, that would give me horror than being on a party bus, because I'm not that type of a person where I'd go out and party anyway. So, I mean, that to me would be like a horror film in itself, even if nothing happened. So,
imagine shooting in a 102 degree heat in the middle of the desert for 12 hours, and you know, it's its own version of hell as well. You know, it was very challenging. So, because you know, when we had the we were out actually, you know, we were on a real bus. And we were at in a real desert, and during shooting, you can't have the air conditioning on for sound.
Right.
So, yeah, you know, like when you see sweat on our brow on screen, that's not makeup. We're sweating.
Wow. So, have you ever actually been in a real party bus before, or is this kind of like your first experience?
I may have been to a couple of bachelor parties in my day.
Nice.
So I've been on a party bus for a few party buses, you know. Going to Vegas, and you know they're going to a bachelor party at a strip club. They will pick you and your group up in a party bus, and you have alcohol on it. And but you know it's normally a shorter drive than the circumstance in this film where they're actually driving to Burning Man.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I love the idea of a party bus, but for me, I'd say I don't party, so that there's like not too much fun with me. And I would be the guy that if you got me on a party bus, I'd be the one that mm-hmm. I would be completely blackmailed for the rest of my life for what I'd do. So,
right, yeah.
I mean, those
it's probably advisable for you to continue, you know, your streak of staying away from it, I would venture to say.
That's right. And the viral vines that would come from this would be, I would never live it down. So, did this change your mind about party buses after being on this particular thing?
I definitely wanted a break from them after I wrapped the film. You know, it's I think I generally was adverse to being in tight spaces for a while after shooting the film. You know, like there was, you know, at times a lot of people on the bus, and that's not to mention crew. And, you know, and the director as well, you know, like, I think, I don't have a count, but one day, we shot, I think we had 25 people on the bus, and, I mean, that is a lot.
And you can't tell it from the movie, could you?
No, yeah, I mean, because it's, you know, obviously doing close-up and medium shots of different people, but just the, you know, when we had the full cast, before, you know, things start to go wrong for the characters, you know, everyone's alive. there's a lot of people, and so a lot of cast and some extras, and then we had obviously the crew and the lighting. It was just like, it was hot.
I bet.
So, needless to say.
So at the end of the movie,
I think I was more sensitive to the heat than I was the closed spaces. You know, like when you're just, it was like being in a sauna while shooting a movie. I think at the end of the day, it wasn't about the party bus. It was like, well, if you want to shoot a movie in a sauna, that's what we went through.
Well, I could see that because, you know, when you're really, really hot, it gets aggravated. You want to get out. So if you are in a tighter spot, you probably would get more claustrophobic faster, I would think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So at the end of the movie, is there any shock? Yeah. Is there going to be a shock for somebody to go like, wow, I did not expect that to happen?
Yes. I mean, I can't really say more than that, but yes. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want you to give any more of the way. I wanted to leave it as a cliffhanger. And with that, we are at the end of the show here. So please tell everybody where they can see the movie and how they can find out more about you, if you have any Instagrams, websites, anything else that you want to show, and also how they can view the movie.
Sure. I'll start with the movie. You can. It came out on Friday the 13th, and it's having a limited release in Los Angeles if you're here. And if the easiest way to see it is on different streaming platforms. There is quite a few, but the top three are going to be Amazon and Google Play and iTunes. That's an important one, right?
That's an important one, yes.
Yeah. And then if you want to follow me on Instagram, my Instagram tag is the_ritual, RICHUAL. And that's the best way to follow me, DM me, track me, or just throw a shout out.
Well, Richard, thank you for coming on and being a great guest. This is a lot of fun. I love horror movies. I love thrillers, so I cannot wait to see this movie.
Thank you so much, Jason.
You're welcome. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we have more, so don't go anywhere.
Hey, everybody, this is Jason, and I have something I want to talk to you guys about. Last year, as you know, somebody in my family suffered a stroke. These things come on unannounced, and it can cost you your life. Why? Because it's usually from high blood pressure or clots, and you don't know you have these problems because it generally has no symptoms. One way to ensure that you don't have high blood pressure is to test it regularly. But who has the time to do it? You have to sit down, strap a blood pressure cuff on, and take the test. And they're bulky and hard to travel with. Now there's a product called Helo LX. The stylish piece of technology not only looks good, but it tests your vitals all the time on demand. Check your blood pressure, see how many steps you've done, see your heart rate, see how much sleep you get, how many calories you burn. It checks it all while you do what you want to do. Then you can check the results right on an app on your phone. I bought it for my family members, and you should too. To get yours, go to amemagazine.worldgn.com and get it, or any of their stylist accessories. In doing so, you'll invest in your health and help the AME experience get our word out and be the voice of artists everywhere. So what are you waiting for? That address again is amemagazine.worldgn.com.
Hi, everyone. My name is Darius Norman, the author of the new book entitled Rewriting Financial Rules. Have you wondered and needed advice in terms of repairing and building your credit? Do you need strategies to boost and to see quick results in building your credit? Do you need to learn how to protect yourself against financial predatory companies like debt collectors? Well, look no further. Rewriting Financial Rules is the perfect book to give you the step-by-step process to adjust and make those changes financially.
Hi, it's Maurice Bernard. You're listening to the AME Radio Show. Ooh, wow.
Each time we have a quarrel, it almost breaks my heart. Cause I'm so afraid that we will have to part. Each night I ask the stars above, why must I be a teenager in love? One day I feel so happy, next day I feel so sad. I guess I'll learn to take the good with the bad. Cause each night I ask the stars up above, why must I be a teenager in love? I cried a tear for nobody but you. I'll be a lonely one if you should say we're through. Well, if you want to make me cry, that won't be so hard to do. If you should say goodbye, I'll still go on loving you. Each night I ask the stars up above, why must I be a teenager in love? I cried a tear for nobody but you. I'll be a lonely one if you should say we're through. Well, if you want to make me cry, that won't be so hard to do. And if you should say goodbye, I'll still go on loving you. Each night I ask the stars up above, why must I be a teenager in love?
In love.
Why must I be a teenager in love?
In love.
Why must I be a teenager in love?
In love.
Why must I be a teenager in love?
All right, guys, we are back, and that was the Belmonts, Why Do Fools Fall in Love? I love the 1950s, and if you haven't figured that out yet, you obviously haven't been to our website, because my websites are all 1950s inspired. And that was kind of my kick, because I'm going to be doing a renovation to the AME television show here in the next couple weeks, but I got to find a table and a chair and some 1950s wallpaper, because I'm going to be building a brand new set, and hopefully I'll be able to do a lot more talking about some stuff too, which is very important. And I also want to tell you guys about a brand new store that I've started online. It's called Gladys Goodies, and it's at Gladys Goodies, GladysGoodies.com. You can get all the cool stuff for your dog up there. You know, we lost our dogs basically because of bad treats that we gave them. And this is all natural stuff. There's so many other things we're going to be putting up there too, so it's going to be treats and swag. Just look for the smiling dachshund and you'll know that you're going to have some quality stuff for your friend. Now, we are going to be closing out the show right now, and we're going to be back again tomorrow. If you want to hear us every week, all you have to do is go to amfm247.com. And you'll find us at 7 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time on Friday and 5 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Saturday. You'll also be able to hear us on their 11 AM FM stations across the United States. We are also at WKLAP.com. It's an internet radio station every Friday at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Saturday. Two different guests per show, four different guests per week, so check each one of them out. We're also on PhoenixBroadcastingNetwork.com, RadioLove.com every Saturday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, iHeartRadio On Demand, and iTunes. All right, guys, that's all we got for you guys. We'll see you again tomorrow. Keep those creative juices flowing. Have a great night. See you tomorrow.
That's the end?
We're done. Calm down, people. Calm down. Okay? That's it.